This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Perhaps nowhere is it more important to have adequate medical care than when an emergency strikes in the wilderness. And here with more on this is Dr. Jeremy Joslin. He's assistant professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine and the director of the Wilderness and Expedition Medicine Fellowship at Upstate Medical University. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess emergencies can happen in the wilderness, and there appear to be some definite medical skills that address those situations. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so our program focuses on helping doctors who have training in emergency medicine to be able to provide medical care outside of the emergency department. So we know that emergencies don't typically happen in the emergency department. They happen before you get to the emergency department. They can happen at home and in an urban setting, or they can happen in a wilderness or a remote or austere environment.
Let me stop you there for 1 second. What do we mean when we say wilderness? Are we really talking about somewhere out, like, you know, far, far away from any civilization? Or does that wilderness term kind of encompass a broader range of situations?
I think it definitely encompasses a broad range of situations. There's been some textbooks and some articles that offer various definitions, like anything that's greater than 1 hour from definitive care could be one definition of wilderness. There's some places in New York State where people's homes and regular EMS responding to their homes could be considered wilderness. But we mean things like people who are backpacking in the Adirondacks to doing a trip abroad, trekking in jungles or desert, things like that as well.
So what are the medical skills that are required? I mean, what are the types of things we talk about needing to be able to do to help someone in that type of setting?
I think wilderness medicine is about two things. Number one is having knowledge of special types of medicine, special situations, environmental medicine, heat, cold injuries and illness, that sort of thing. And also the ability to think on your feet, think and diagnose and treat patients and people without various tests and studies and radiologic procedures that you might have in a hospital or an emergency department.
Or often in many cases without much equipment, I would think.
Right. Some people...
I mean, it's almost like you might have to make up a tourniquet from a piece of clothing.
Right. Improvisational medicine is another analogy to some types of wilderness medicine.
And it seems to me that this has become a new field or relatively new field in recent years. Explain
that. Yeah, it has. Dr. Paul Auerbach out in California was one of the founding fathers, if you will. And it's definitely been growing. There's a few training programs around the country. I think we're up to about 9 right now that offer doctors who've graduated from residency the ability to do an extra year or two of training to be able to learn this body of knowledge and be able to apply this type of thinking.
So the idea here is that you want to be able to evaluate and then triage or prioritize the treatment of some kind of an acute injury or a disease or what? I mean, does that kind of describe it?
Yeah, it's having an understanding of those specific types of medical problems that might come up when you're in the wilderness. So you're more likely to get a heat stroke, exertional heat stroke, if you're trekking across a desert. So having a real good knowledge base in that type of injury or illness. But then also being able to apply medicine without extra aids. So being able to think and perform diagnostic procedures just using physical exam skills and consideration of a differential.
Is the knowledge of evacuation skills also part of this? Because you would think if you come across someone in a remote area, not only do you have to be able to treat them quickly and triage what the problem is, but you might have to be responsible for getting them out of there.
Absolutely. So search and rescue, providing medicine, science, research, things like that to search and rescue, and being able to advance the science of search and rescue is definitely part of it as well.
How about things like, I read somewhere that it's not just what goes on right at that moment, but the field has now broadened to embrace even the secondary care that you might need to know about in following a patient, because you might not always be able to evacuate the patient from the environment. You might have to move them to maybe a nearby place, but still somewhat remote.
Right. Yeah. So it is having a familiarity with the types of illness and injury that might occur while you're out there, and then being able to take care of them, not only acutely, but be able to take care of them as long as it takes until they can be evacuated. And it also goes before that, so preparation for trips and analysis of what types of risk somebody might face if they're doing a wilderness type of trip. That definitely plays a big role in things that we try to do better at and, like I said, advance the science of.
How did you get involved in this?
Well, before I got into medicine, I was I grew up in the country, if you will, and enjoyed being outdoors. I was a Boy Scout. I did a lot of travel, and I really just enjoyed being in the wilderness. The Wilderness Medical Society, WMS.org, one of the biggest organizations that help coordinate this. Their motto is combining your passion with your profession, and that's exactly what it was for me.
Mm, that's wonderful. But did you also then study emergency medicine? I mean, is the route to this kind of subset?
Yeah, I'm biased towards emergency medicine. That's what I train primarily in. That's my day job, if you will. And wilderness medicine is a subspecialty that I practice underneath emergency medicine. There's definitely other people who practice wilderness medicine. I have good friends who are family physicians, who are internal medicine physicians, PM&R physicians. And indeed, you really can get to wilderness medicine from a lot of different routes.
What's PM&R?
Physical medicine rehab, so physiatry.
I see. Okay. So you're saying a number of people can come to that field of wilderness medicine from other backgrounds, but yours came from an emergency background.
Absolutely. Even pediatrics, as we have in our own institution, one of our pediatricians is in wilderness medicine.
So you'd almost imagine, like you said, combining your passion with your work is the idea that all of these people probably always love to be out in the woods somehow.
Right.
Or somewhere away from other people. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Jeremy Joslin, and we're talking about expedition and wilderness medicine. It's a fascinating subject to me. And I read somewhere that the scope of this is very, very broad. For example, things like diving and hyperbaric medicine fall within it, tropical and travel medicine. What are some of the other things that are within this whole field?
Sports medicine, toxicology, or more specifically, toxinology. So there's these little pieces and parts of lots of different subspecialties of medicine that have some link to wilderness medicine. So they don't necessarily fall under wilderness medicine, but they're linked to it. So in sports medicine, there's a lot of sports that might occur in remote situations. Ultra marathons is one of those big ones.
And you've been involved in that kind of thing. Weren't you helping on some of those activities?
Correct. Our program here does provide professional service to remote ultra marathons around the world to provide medical care, some preparation, and things like that.
Give me an example of what you would do in that circumstance. So you've just been assigned to go out and work with an ultramarathon in where, like the Mojave Desert, for example?
Well, we've worked trips to the jungle in the Amazon in Brazil. We just got back from the backcountry of Cambodia. We're preparing for a trip to Bhutan, which is a smaller country in the Himalayan area. And we're preparing for a ultramarathon there as well. So right now we're doing the work with preparing a list of medical supplies and equipment that we'll carry with us. So part of wilderness medicine is being able to pare down that equipment and be able to deal with the bare basics that we're going to need to bring. We have a good understanding of what types of illness and injuries participants in this event might face in the mountains. And so we bring specific supplies and equipment.
Give me some examples of some of the things very briefly.
Yeah. So one of the things that we might expect in the mountains would be altitude sickness. And so we'll bring medications that help with people who might not acclimatize as fast as we'd like them to or have any problems with acclimatization.
Now, these are ultramarathoners, so obviously they're going to be in pretty good physical shape, but are you prepared for injury type of things that take place as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Our motto is we want to bring everybody home safely. Obviously, there's some risk with traveling abroad and doing some pretty extravagant remote travel. And our job really is to try to predict any emergency that might occur and be able to deal with it. And that's mitigating risk and it's preparing for risk.
Have you had any real tragedies or disasters that have happened in your long history here?
There's a lot of situations that we've been in that people would like to keep private, so I won't get into them. But definitely I would say that we've been prepared.
You have been prepared. Correct. So it's like the Boy Scout. You were a Boy Scout.
Right.
Always be prepared.
Exactly.
Right. So I understand that you are holding an annual conference here, which is a regular, as the director of the Wilderness and Expedition Medicine Fellowship. Tell us about that. That takes place. It's a Northeast Wilderness Medicine Conference.
Right. So we know that there's a lot of people in the Northeast who are interested in wilderness medicine, and so we wanted to bring them together on an annual basis at a conference and have people present topics that they have an interest in or have had experience in.
Well, who are you hoping to attend?
Mostly medical professionals is our main audience. So medical students, residents, attendings, people who practice in community settings, other fellows from other wilderness medicine fellowships in the area.
In your fellowship program, do you generally get people from EMT background, you know, from an emergency medicine background, or do you, I mean, who become your fellows generally?
Sure.
In your program?
Our requirement at our specific program is that you must have graduated from an emergency medicine residency, so you have to be a fully qualified emergency physician in order to even start with our fellowship. And then it's a one-year fellowship where we'll take you on these types of trips and teach you the tricks of the trade, so to speak, and what how to prepare for trips and events and teach you that body of knowledge that's specific to wilderness medicine.
So you really learn it in the field,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously the best way to learn it, especially
right.
something like this. What do you think the most important qualities or characteristics should be of someone who chooses to go into that kind of field? I mean, is it different than other things in medicine?
I think it's very similar to other things in medicine where you need to have an interest in it. You need to be able to work in tough environments. You need to be able to travel well. You need to be able to be flexible and understand that things are not going to go as planned.
Think on your feet.
Yeah, think on your feet and have an interest in getting into difficult situations like that.
Almost an attraction to it.
Yeah.
That's... Sounds like that to me. In your just in a little bit of time we have left, in your upcoming conference, I was looking at the brochure and there are two very interesting things that stuck out to me. You have many topics you're going to cover, but one was this whole of medical threat assessment in an austere environment. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's one of the things I have a particular passion in, and that's making sure that everybody who's involved in an event has an idea of what types of medical problems might come up. So medical threat assessment means we sit down, we think about all the medical illness or injuries that might occur specific to an event, we list them out, and then we plan how we're going to mitigate those risks. So what we're going to do ahead of time to try to prevent them, reduce the risk, and then we plan what types of supplies or equipment we're going to bring to be able to treat them, and then if we do get in the situation, how we're going to get out of that situation, so evacuation plans and such.
Yeah, so that's really the whole kind of ball of wax. And one other one that I thought was so interesting was the medicine of high altitude Nepal. Tell us very briefly, because we're just
sure.
at the end.
Sure. One of the fellows from another institution who's coming to speak spent some time in Nepal at a high-altitude clinic. So people who trek in Nepal who get ill can go to some of these clinics that are in the mountains. And this fellow is going to come and talk about her experiences with that.
Her experiences,
yes.
No less. Fabulous. Well, I wish you all the best with this conference. It sounds so interesting. My guest has been Dr. Jeremy Joslin. He's assistant professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine and the director of the Wilderness and Expedition Medicine Fellowship at Upstate Medical University. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.